get going.
So let's call the meeting to order. First thing on the agenda is there, Rob, did you have an addition or correction that you want to speak about?
Just that, you know, I sent it out to you guys yesterday about the West Central Hockey Agreement was approved, so that will be for 3 years, and what their payments will be for that, and the advertising agreement that the baseball boosters did for Swanson Fields. Granted, some orange fence line will not be available to them because of the construction that's going on, so all that's been done. And the facility use policy went through. So those are kind of the updates with what's gone through the council and everything.
So. Doesn't look like there's anybody here for public comments.
I can introduce myself. Oh. If you want, Melissa Swanson with Clover Hockey Association.
Oh, sorry about that, yeah.
That's all right. Our goal, just so you guys know, our goal is to have someone here at every meeting moving forward from Clover Hockey. So it'll either be myself, Mary LaRue, or Al Sedgwick, if one of the two of us can attend. So.
Very good. Yeah. Thanks for being here. Mm-hmm.
Have we just wrapped up our spring meeting? Do you want some updates on the Clover Hockey program?
Well, you know, you're welcome as far as public comments. You know, it's kind of not that we've got a big format, but like with the council, it's like a 3-minute deal. So you're welcome to address us with stuff if you'd like to do that.
I can just give you a quick rundown just so you guys know kind of where we're at for the wrap up of our year. We were able to purchase about $56,000 in ice this year, even with the COVID shutdown, and able to purchase quite a bit of the unused ice for programs that were canceled due to COVID. Or ice time that was given up. I know we communicated with Rob and Brian that ideally we'd like to be around $80,000 to $90,000 worth of ice time in a year. Obviously, COVID was an anomaly. Hopefully, not going to look right. We're all not going to look. But ideally, we'd like to be floating around that $90,000 of ice a year, just with increased options for our youth. Currently, right now, we're in the process of something up our dry land area out at the arena. So that
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So moving on to the next agenda item, the approval of the minutes. Is there a motion, a second, to approve the minutes?
Jim, does the approval of the minutes, does that include the coordinators' reports? Is that in the minutes?
No, it is not.
Okay.
So.
So I'm not sure, did we get a motion in a second?
I saw one.
Thank you. Any discussion? Rand, if there's a discussion as far as the staff stuff, we can we'll speak about that. It's on the agenda.
Oh yeah, it's just a few minor things in the coordinator's report. Sure. Sure. Question.
So all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Same sign opposed. The motion passes. Next is the Invest in Wilmer updates. Rob?
All right. Thanks, Jim. This last month has been busy with getting through the pre-bid process and the bids coming in. So currently, right now, the bids are in for the rec fields and the rec and event center. And so what's happening now is Marcus is having that on their plate, and they're siphoning through everything, making sure that the requirements are met for bonding and making sure that any amendments are met and all that type of stuff. And then they're going to put it into their matrix to make sure that where they're at budget-wise. What it sounds like from them from preliminary point of view, the rec fields is right at the budget where they need to be at. So the fear about that one is that we had the alternate of the lights of that project that may or may not be able to be funded the way that this price point is at. Right now they're saying they're at 5.3, and that's a $6 million project. So we're real close. Hopefully they can figure the things out and make sure that we can get lights on those fields, because that would be That would be a sore thing not to be able to have lights on those two turf fields. So,
that doesn't include lights on the softball fields?
That was not part of the project. No lights on the softball fields. So hopefully, you know, if they can look at the numbers and everything, and we know the lights are going to be right around the $500,000 mark, that it could fit in there, but they want to make sure that they've got tied up all their loose ends, where that 5.3 doesn't go to, you know, 5.5, 5.6, and everything, and then all of a sudden, now we're over, would be over budget. So hopefully it stays at that mark, that we'll be able to add those lights in as an alternate. With the rec fields, that meeting, the meeting was on Tuesday, and there was a lot of interest in this project. There was 25 vendors there going through the listening to the process. Basically, what the bid process is everyone's got to put all their bids in an envelope. We sit there, we open them up, we say who it is. If they've acknowledged the amendments, boom. If they have the bonding certificate in there, and then they give out the price. So, and you know, that's coming everything from the civil to the plumbing to HVAC to the concrete to the masonry. So when you start hearing $1.1 million, it's a big numbers. These are all big numbers that were coming in, not necessarily saying that they're over budget, but they're just big ticket items. Like the concrete was anything between, you know, $400,000 and $600,000. The civil was from $700,000 to $1.1 million. So that's where Marcus's job is now, to filter through all that and find out what the lowest price is for us. And then come back to us and say, all right, here's what you're at budget-wise.
When do you see that?
They have them staggered out, so hopefully this week we see the rec fields at the end of the week, and then the event center the following. And then next week is Swanson's bid opening on Wednesday. And then Robbins Island is on Thursday. So May is going to be a busy month once we start understanding where we're at budget-wise and if the projects are going to be able to get funded and start moving forward. So May is going to be a busy month. May 17th is going to be a busy council day. So other than that... that's where we're at with the Invest in Wilmer projects. We're just compiling all the bid information and hopefully cross our fingers that everything is in line. Again, the hard part is the steel pricing. A lot of people only guarantee their pricing for 3 days because of the influx of pricing that keeps going up with steel prices. So, a lot of these bids have to be good for 60 days. That's part of the requirements that the city has on their requirements.
Was the anticipation that the turf fields and the softball fields would get going this year?
Yes. If it has to be after the baseball tournament for the turf fields, but the softball complex can actually turn ground anytime now. So once... And as far as the priority list that the Invest in Wilmer had there, that's the next project to go in line. So they can get that project started anytime, really, on the softball complex. By the time they get mobilization in and get some of the dirt work going, it's the same contractor, so they can just move over to the turf fields after the baseball tournament's over with.
But we would have to bond for that.
Yep. So there's going to be some... decisions are going to have to be made about how much are we going to bond for.
And how we would cover that.
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm guessing either with the new structure, when does the new structure take place for the council?
The first one meeting in
May. Okay. So I'll talk to Brian about how we want to address getting that all settled with the bonding, how much we want to bond for. Because I think he wanted to see what the bids came in first, see how much we actually had to bond for.
Okay, so the Invest in Wilmer Group hasn't looked at what the money is that's coming in and whether we're going to be able to cover the bond payments from what's already gone through Robbins Island, Swanson Field, and how how we're going to be able to take on $6 million.
The way that I take it, the investment rumor doesn't deal with that. That committee is actually pretty much shut down right now because they have gone through the process of all the projects going through. So the chair has stopped the meetings unless we need to bring it up.
Okay. So is it to the council then that's going to make a major decision then at some point? And when is that? Where we're going to cut $8 or $9 million out of the $30 million project?
Yep.
When do you see that coming to a head?
In May. Once we know what all the prices are, once we know how much we actually have to bond for, because if the turf fields come in at 5.5, then we don't have, and then if the rec center only comes in at 8 million, then we only have to bond for that 13, 14 million.
Okay.
Or what the council's wishes to do for the priorities.
You know, there's not money to cover that kind of money. It just isn't.
Well, it's estimated that we're supposed to get around 21 to 23 million.
But for right now, to cover, if we were to bond for those right now, there's no revenue. There's not enough revenue coming in from the local option sales tax to cover that in 2021.
Which part, the 6 million or?
The additional, I think the 6 million could maybe be tweaked, but definitely not. 14 or 15 million.
Yeah, it depends on how much the city wants to bond for. That's the way that I was taking it.
And you can bond, but then you have to cover the interest on the bonds.
Right.
And right now, the revenue from the local option sales tax is covering the two projects so far. But I'm under the understanding there isn't enough revenue coming in to cover bonding. I gotta see it black and white.
Yeah, it's gonna have to get vetted out about maybe we just do the 6 million and see where we're at.
I think the 6 is even gonna be a stretch. But I gotta see numbers.
Yeah. Okay.
But did that just confuse you all or do you understand what's
happening? Yeah, that's because we talked about the lights being
part. It sounded like a council meeting was confusing.
Yeah.
Oh, just kidding.
So but you know, it's one thing to just say, we're going to bond for it. But the city has to cover the interest on the bonds. And the only money that's available right now to do that is the local option sales tax money. And there isn't enough coming in at this point to cover that kind of number of bonds.
Because we've got enough to cover for Robbins Island and Swanson.
Yep.
So that one's been bonded and that one's already good to go.
So we're covering the interest on that and paying towards the bond value over the time as the more money keeps coming in. But that's why I asked if they were planning on doing that this year, because it'll be interesting to see if there will be enough revenue to bond for $6 million this year, or if we're going to have to wait a year to accumulate some more funds from the local option sales tax. But also, because the bottom line is we've been projected to take in $250,000 every month, and we're really, at one point we were kind of at $180,000 was kind of the average. This last, I want to say February or January, it was $200,000. But to make it to the $30 million that had been projected, after 2 years now of the local option sales tax, we can't catch up. I mean, we would have to have $400,000 every month to make up for what we've lost already in the last 2 years. So something is going to get done.
Something's going to have to give, yes. That, or there's always been that conversation about trying to get an extension onto it.
Nobody listens to me on that. Have you picked up on that?
We brought it up a couple times.
Yeah.
I think we're preaching to the choir.
I'm the only one who keeps hammering that home. And I keep getting told, this isn't the time, but we don't want to piss off the legislature. And I'm like, if it isn't now, when are they going to have the empathetic towards what happened through COVID? If it isn't now, you got to get it while the iron's hot.
But an extension now makes sense during COVID because it's an understandable situation because of the times.
But the argument's going to be, though, is the sales were down even before COVID hit, though.
Sure.
We still didn't hit our marks for those 5 months.
We've never reached the 250, and so I don't know how that number ever came about of 250, but we're more realistically, I would say, 170 to that 190 range monthly of what we're bringing in.
But
I think if you look at the economics of it, it typically will start out low, and as dollars come in at the end of it, it will be over due to inflation and everything else. And so, yes, you're going to come up short at the beginning, but by the end, you'll be over.
But we didn't anticipate the building cost doing what they are going to do.
But the dollar amount still stays the same.
Just go out and spend more money.
Yeah. Locally.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they. Yeah. Things are still happening. So. Does anyone got any questions on the Invest in Wilmer? In the next month, we'll know a lot more of what's going to happen in Wilmer.
Some people are going to be real unhappy, and that's just going to be the reality.
Yep, yeah. Yeah, just wish we could get it all done.
I know. Yeah, I can't be done. We all didn't win the lottery. I keep saying
that. Any other questions on Invest in Wilmer? If not, let's move on to the CIP plans for 2021.
Well, I'm kind of going to give you guys an overview about what CIP, capital improvement projects or plan, is for the city. For like our department, we have capital plans for park and rec, which pretty much includes anything park-wise or program-wise. If you look at your long sheets here, so you'll kind of see what we've been planning out here for the next 5 years about some of the items that we could be doing. And these are going to be more big ticket items and enhancements to facilities, infrastructure, et cetera, et cetera. So, and some of this is going to get skewed a little bit because if items don't get funded through the sales tax, they're going to come to the CIP part of things so they can get funded later on if they get approved. So, and I've also reached out to Wilmer Hockey and the Wilmer Baseball Group, say, hey, since you guys are users of these facilities, what are some of the things that you would like to see enhanced at the Civic Center, Blue Line Arena, the ball fields, etc.? So they're going to get me a list of things that can happen in those type of facilities to get their input, because I see things a little bit more differently as far as infrastructure goes. Do we need new doors? The Blue Line doors are terrible. Okay, we need new doors in there. Do we need to replace the ceiling in the Cardinal Arena? Because if you guys look up there, it's the old tin foil and it's falling down. Do we need to put an ELO system in there? Do we need to put, you know, LED lights? Those type of things, okay, that we need to do. And then also when I look at parks, you know, more pickleball courts, more basketball courts. We're always going to put in park equipment for the next 5 years because that's what our plan is to put new playground equipment in our five-year park plan that we have. So those are the type of things that we've started planning out and where we can start doing this budget-wise. If you do look at the parks one, you'll see Swanson Fields lights. There's three fields that need to be lit out there. And that's red, yellow, and green. Okay, each field is about $220,000 to do. So, and they're in need to be replaced because a lot of the pillars are tipping over or the concrete base is getting bad. And there's also the candlelit power that is bad. I mean, there's some dead spot, dark, really dark spots out there. And for safety reasons, That's why we need to replace them. So when we do that, and I put it on here, then the committee, the CIP committee, then starts filling out these type of forms. Okay, and this has every one of the ones that I have on here for Park and Rec, the Civic Center, the DOAC, and the Community Center. So then the committee goes through there and they start scoring them on a criteria that has been placed in front of us. Okay, and so does it meet legal mandates, public safety, maintain existing assets? Does it help reduce or offset costs? Does it meet the council's priorities? And everything like that. So we start grading them out. And when we grade them out, we get a number. And then we start putting them in what year that they can go into. Then that goes to the council and to the mayor. And then they start picking out what projects can be funded. And all that all depends on how much funding we have. So sometimes we have $1 million. Sometimes we have two. Sometimes we have less. So some of the projects that are going to get done this year in the city for 2021 is like a Garfield Ponds for engineering and stormwater. For us, you know, we're looking at playground equipment, so we've got that already done. So the playgrounds that are going to get done this year is going to be Sperry, Rainbow, and Hilltop. Okay, and then I should have printed off 2020 because a lot of our 2020 CIPs got pushed because we didn't know where we were going to be at money-wise. And I believe we have 2 years to spend capital dollars. So at the pool, there's a lot of the block that is deteriorating from the bottom because when they built it, they didn't put the right type of weeping in. And so it's busting out. So we have a company over there, yeah, I saw their trailer there today, and so the block is all there, so they're going to replace that bottom row of block on the pool. So that meets the mandates as far as safety and infrastructure and everything like that.
When did we find out about that?
It's been deteriorating for a few years now. I'm just,
okay.
I think, has it been in the CIP before or not? I can't remember.
It was, and I put it in at 2019, so it got approved for 2020.
So it got pushed, and now we're.
So
I thought everything was on the decking and on the.
That was the pool resurfacing.
Yeah.
So the bottom row, if you go out there, if you walk out there, you'll see like even one of the corners, it goes down like this, and it caves in. It's just deteriorating. So those are the type of things that go on to a CIP plan that we can't do out of our operational budget. So another one will be like the Blue Line sound system. That's going to get installed this summer as well. That was a project that was supposed to be done in 2020, but it got pushed because of we didn't know where the funding. We want to make sure that we have enough funding for other things.
Okay? The Cardinal Arena got a new one.
Yes.
Oh.
Yep. The Blue Line one is terrible.
Okay.
So it's going to get a brand new system, very similar to what we have in the Cardinal, just not as many speakers. Okay. Another big thing that we're getting in this year too is the Trishaw bike. Okay, if anyone doesn't know what the Trishaw bike is, it's going to be a bike. Well, especially if open shelter number one can be get done this year, and if we do put that wall in later, that could be a storage unit for that bike. So when people want to use it. We have our pilots that ride the bike. Basically, it's a motorized bike, you know, battery operated, and two people can sit in the front of it. And they can go up around the hills and everything around Robins Island. So for people that can't physically get out and ride a bike, they can still enjoy the paths and everything like that. Bethesda does have one, so if you see people riding around with it, it's two people sitting in a cart. So they're specially made. They come from Norway, so that's why the price tag is pretty hefty.
Is that like a rental?
Yes, we're doing it as a program, so people can. Britt is working with it and started.
Oh, okay.
You got to train pilots on how to do it and everything like that.
Oh, sure.
So,
okay, awesome.
So,
did we have a grant for that?
We tried to.
Okay.
With the Otto Brummer grant, right? Probably 2 years ago, we tried to get so we can get 10 of them, and we just didn't get approved for it. So I think that there will actually be three in town. I know Bethesda has one, we'll have one, And weren't you saying that you thought the hospital had one in their garage?
Yep.
So if we just kind of keep looking at it year by year, so like if we go to 2022, you'll see of all the things that we would like to get done, either with the cash or through bonding or through the sales tax. So, we just didn't know where we're going to be at, like budget-wise, with the Robbins Island project. So you'll see in 2022, we put a park shelter out at Robbins Island for $320. Well, that will now be able to be removed because the sales tax projects will be able to handle those shelters. Cross our fingers. Okay?
Hey, so I just have a question. So all the capital improvements have to be approved by the council, correct?
And the mayor, yes.
And prior to that, does the council give you a directive of what kind of a budget you have to present to the council? So how much money, you can't come in and ask for $2 million because you know it's not going to work. They might say your capital improvement expenditure shouldn't exceed $500,000 per calendar year. Or how does that work?
I don't know if we get a set dollar amount and say, hey, you guys are going to get $3 million this year or $1 million this year. It's just what projects need to be funded.
It's a needed
and
thing.
What our LGA gets for and everything.
Okay, sure.
So, like, this is our wish list for 2022, but only maybe half of it gets funded.
Sure.
So then it just kind of gets being pushed to 1 year to the next year and next year. And, like with us, some of our stuff will be able to be consumed by the local option sales tax dollars. Or we need to get it updated because we might have got a donation. Because we're working with the Wilmer Foundation right now. There's a donor that wants to donate $5,000 to help with the fishing pier, and that was part of the CIP. She wants to give $4,000 for picnic tables, and then she wants to give $25,000 to the community center. So there's things that happen that we will have to adjust down the line. So one thing that we did today too with Kurt and I, we asked Jared from Bolton and Mink to come in and actually give us hard numbers, some better numbers, instead of grabbing something out of the air, especially when it comes to like redoing Northside Park, because that's the next one as far as our community parks is supposed to get redone. Knowing what it costs to do Robbins Island or Rice Park, we got a kind of an understanding about what it is, but we really want to have more of a proactive approach and have better numbers going into a CIP than just guesstimating. So, and he's going to help us out too with our trails, understanding how much it's going to cost to reduce some of our trails. We talked about doing a kind of like what we did with the park plan, have a 5-year refurbishing plan for our trails. So we have those all ahead of time so we know exactly where we have to be at budget wise. So just trying to be more proactive and understanding, hey, what is the real dollar amounts that we are talking about here? So I think it's also going to help too with the baseball and the hockey, letting us know what they would like to see in the facilities from a user standpoint.
One thing that we've been kicking down the road for the last 4 years that I've been on the council is the auditorium. And is that a $1 million tuck point issue?
I don't know what it was at.
It's a spending one, but there's
well, that's just the road.
And yeah, because it's considered a historical building, so there are opportunities for grant dollars for that. It's just that building's a tough building because there's going to have to, at one time we thought about redoing a lot of the inside, about putting an elevator in so people be able to get up to the third floor, second floor, down in the basement for the gun range and all that, but that just didn't come through because of the price tag of it.
That's one thing they might have to consider, is they're possibly thinking about an elevator on the outside toward that little alley, because ADA compliance at some point, we're going to have to be able to give people access to the gun range. Yeah. But there's a huge crack on the east wall, on the backside, and then the tuck point. What they did to the ALC, this last summer, they got to redo all the grouting and all the brakes.
Yep. because we're going to have to do that at the Civic Center too, on the east side of the building where the overhead door is at. There's this, I would call them scallions, wouldn't you call them? Where they're just popping off, and that's what happens. When you get moisture behind there and it freezes, it pops that, the face.
It's kind of the exact same thing that happened over the pool. You get moisture in there and it pops it off. When it freezes, it pops the face of it off. So, in fact, the company that's doing the pool is the same company that did the ALC. So.
So has there been anybody that's seriously going, that we put out any bids or anything on the road for the auditorium?
I'm not involved in
just
that.
Just the CIP.
Yeah, Sean's taking over the auditorium, but I'm guessing that might get handed over to us. So that's kind of how the process of how items get done in the city. And we've been very fortunate that we've been able to get dollars for the playground equipment. It has gone up a little bit because you know, we asked for 160 because there's a lot of things that go into a park that probably a lot of people don't understand with it. When you take out a park, and especially if it's had sand in it, you're going to have to take all that sand out. And then you're going to have to put the P-Rock in, then you put fabric over it, and then you got to put the engineering wood over the top of it. So all that has to, we try to get as much of that through the CIP as we can. And we've been fortunate enough to get a grant from Minnesota Wisconsin Playground, where we can basically double up a park. So in the past, we've only been getting $100,000. Well, out of that $100,000, $25,000 of it has to go to installing it. So when you look at the grant, you only got $75,000 in to go to match it. So now when we moved it up to the 160, we're able to actually go 100 to 100 with it. And then we still have the $25,000 to install it, and then the $10,000 for the engineered wood chips. So that's how much those little wood chips cost, is what we just get a quote for 330 cubic yards, and it was $6,000 for wood chips. So it adds up.
And so everybody knows too, I mean, playground equipment is very expensive. I think for just an 8-foot slide is right around $5,000-$6,000 just for a single slide. So that's like some of these bigger parks that we've done, that's why it gets up to over the $100,000 mark.
And one thing that we like what we did with Hilltop is understanding that in the past, you know, it was you put a swing set here, you put a slide here, a merry-go-round here, and that. Now all the equipment is all in one. And so that's why, you know, the price goes up, because you're including the monkey bars, the slide, the swings, and all that type of stuff, all in basically one unit. So, and that's the route that we are going.
So, Rob, quick question for you. So, auditorium, civic center, community center, DOAC, Parks and Rec, do those all fall under this board?
The auditorium does not yet.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I was thinking it was to do the programming center. Okay.
Sean does it because he's in. It was just Sean, when we did transition, he just took it over. We do the programming still. He does all the maintenance as far as Chris, who's there, and he deals with that budget.
Okay.
So.
But it may move over to us, is what you said?
I got a good feeling that it's probably going to get over, because there's going to be a lot of transition in the city here in the next 2-3 months. You know?
So. Sean's leaving. He's there.
Yeah, we got, was it 11 open positions right now?
11.
So between an administrator and city engineer, assistant city engineer, and city planner, there's 4 or 5 big administrative jobs that are open right now. So that's why we were talking to Jared about the trails, to make sure that the trails kind of fall under us now, instead of having to always go with the engineering department, because when you talk about trails and parking lots, we can't assess people for those. So they need to go, I would say, more into the park and rec area, so we can get funding for them. So, yeah. But again, like when we do the capital plan, we will meet at in early May. I will give you guys updated capital plans of what we can figure out as far as at the staff level about what we would like to do and accomplish in the next 5 years, so you guys can see what it is. And then once things get approved, then you can see what gets pushed or what gets done. So
I have to believe that you're not getting, I would hope, not getting any complaints about the community parks.
Not at all.
Because they're just getting upgraded wonderfully.
Yes. With the new, and the park signage too, you know, talking, you know, we just got those approved. And so, you know, what we're doing on the backside of them, you know, we're putting the bike trail on there. We're telling them about, you know, Robbins Island Destination Playground, the Four Seasons. So there's going to be information on the back. So hey, if you like this park, go over to Voss Park that's just got redone. Or if you're looking for tennis courts. So those type of things are just marketing and branding it a little bit better now. And so we'll be putting up four or five new of the park signs, so they'll just get filtered back in and everything. So I think it's been good for us to develop that five-year park plan so everything can get done on a timely manner.
I think our biggest complaints were, it was probably, say, 4 or 5 years ago when we really started to pull out park equipment that was outdated, and people thought that we weren't going to replace it. Well, we can't replace all the parks in 1 year. I think now the citizens are finding out that we're doing one park at a time, and we're consistent with it from year to year, and I think it's changed. You're right, we haven't had a whole lot of complaints.
And with us doing some of the PR stuff, like what Alex did for Hilltop, I think that was huge, just to let people know, because when they started pulling out, people thought we were taking it out because of COVID. And it's like, that has nothing to do with it. So we just get, since we had a good fall, we're going to take advantage of it, so we're ready for this spring, because they're slated to go in, was it end of May or middle of May?
Middle of May. We got to be ready for them to come. So,
yeah. So when they come, they're going to get them all done. So Sperry's going to look real nice. Hilltop's going to be tremendously upgraded. I think I convinced the public works guys to understand that if we're going to do a park, we're going to do the park, all of it. Just not, we're not going to leave monkey bars in there that's been there from 1974. All right.
Whatever.
So that's how we kind of go through capital projects. I would say it's a little bit of a wish list, but some of it has to be, we have to understand that, you know, the safety of things have to come first to get those type of infrastructure things done. So like, I would say like the roof at the Civic Center is a prime example. You know, that was all cedar shakes for a long time. And if you're standing on the mezz, you'd be the first one to know if it rained, was raining outside, because it was leaking. So what we did with the roof is that we looked at it, and we also understood that it had a lot of cedar on the sides. I don't know if you guys remember that, like where the Warhawks office is at or where the cooling tower was at. That was all cedar. Well, in order to do it correctly, you have to put that steel on first, and then you put your roof on, and then you put your cap on. So we took it one step further to make sure that when we did it right. Should I tell them about the roof, though?
That,
so when we're going through, when LSE, who's the architect at the, for the event center, part of their job was to understand structural, with the existing structure that we have right now. And the area that is, when you walk into the Cardinal Arena, you have the bathrooms to your left, you have the Park and Rec office to the right, and then on the back side of the bathrooms you have a utility room and then the officials room. That roof was not built correctly from what they're saying. It stood for 40 some odd years now, but it's a snow load issue, because when you have a big wall up against where the Civic Center is at, and then you have a smaller roof, and then you have another roof on top, that snow just comes down and hits that roof and just stays there. So they're concerned about the snow load on that roof if anything gets done with that facility. So it's not going to be a $10,000 fix. It's probably going to be in the $100,000 fix to do it. So those are going to be other questions that we're going to have to figure out as far as putting into a CIP plan. And then the pool heater goes out. So that's $50,000. So it's not small ticket stuff. It's big things.
Hey, just talking about the pool, did things get fixed at the pool and it's operational for this coming season?
We sure hope so.
Yeah.
It's all fixed. We just hope we can operate it.
Okay.
Yeah, just so people will know too, if you guys get approached about the water heater, we noticed it last year at the end of the season and it didn't get into the CIP to replace it. So we're going to try to limp it along one more year. So there's a chance that we might not have heated pool this summer. So, which, you know, if we get a hot, sunny days, it won't affect it, but it'll be the mornings and it'll be the cloudy days and stuff like that. So,
time will tell, huh?
Time will tell.
But it might work? If you say you're going to limp it along, it might work?
We don't know yet because we haven't started it up yet. Last year, over the winter, we had Bulletproof come in there, and they took it apart, and they found out that it probably was not fixable at the time, but it was working when they took it apart, but it wasn't working to the efficiency that it should be. So they took it apart, and they're going to put it back together. Hopefully it still works at somewhat an efficiency, but it does need to be replaced. So we don't know yet because we don't have water in the pool. And we don't have it running, so eventually I would say within the next couple, 2-3 weeks, we'll probably try to get it going.
Any other questions for Rob on the CIP? So we'll move forward to the summer programs.
We're concerned about our summer programs through the fact that the governor is still is requiring the masks to be worn outside, and we've seen it with our numbers already, with some of our pre-registrations for baseball and softball, is that the numbers are there compared to what they were pre-COVID, and it's even with our adult leagues. A lot of people say we're not playing if we have to wear a mask, and so. That's where staff is fearful, because even with hiring staff, you know, kids are saying, you know what, I've had to go to school with a mask on, I have to play sports on it, I don't, you know, I'll find something where I don't have to wear a mask. So we're concerned about that as far as our numbers go and how we really are going to enforce it. You know, if adult softball goes and, you know, you got one team that's not wearing masks and then all of a sudden another team is wearing up, how are we going to really mandate that? It's difficult enough already when we're in the facilities to try to do it, to tell people, hey, you need to mask up, all that type of stuff, and then go tell you to take, you know, go fly a kite, you know, and that type of stuff. So it's going to be a struggle. We don't necessarily want to be the mask police either, but we're kind of forced to mandate it. It's not going to be easy this summer. So hopefully maybe that there'll be some leniency coming up here, because it wasn't an easy fall and winter with having to wear a mask for the participants.
Well, my head is a pretty nice thing, so I don't know what I'm going to say.
Well, we got one of those that's a new program that we got. So it is. It's a family event.
Do you have to wear a mask?
Well, we're going to be socially distanced. Okay. So, but that's one thing kids don't know how to do anymore, is how to fly a kite. So it was big down in Sioux Falls, and so we're like, hey, for a family event, you can come out and learn to fly a kite. We just got to hope that there's enough wind. So we got some fishing stuff going on, which kind of gets us into our other summer programs that, you know, the staff is doing. We have, did we bring that binder? Oh, yeah. So, you know, Rachel's created this, the catalog and everything, and we've done this online, and it just seems that's the trend to go right now. No one's ever asked us for a paper copy. And to do a paper copy of that, I bet we spent close to $8,000 to $9,000 a year.
So that's online now.
Yep. So that's it was to publish it and mail it out. So it's a huge expense for us. And I just know with our family, you look at your circle of things, and then it just kind of goes to the wayside. So
will we mail out like a little postcard or anything like that to all the families, like with a QR code so you can be like, hey, this is the new thing?
How much was that to do that?
We looked into it, and yeah. It was almost as much as sending out a brochure, honestly.
Really?
Yeah, I met with general mailing, and it was, even without printing costs, it was still going to be about $3,000-$4,000. Even just the Wilmer zip codes.
So your social media is probably the way to go.
We've already gotten a lot of sign-ups. So it's been working. We're trying to come up with more ideas. I sent flyers out to all the elementary child guides, which also helps for a lot of the non-English speaking families. But we're trying to come up with other ways to get it out there too, if it's like flyers around town or stuff like that. So if you have ideas, let me know.
And the website's probably in multiple languages and you can select.
You know, I don't...
We haven't had it translated.
I don't know.
You should probably do that.
We should.
Mm-hmm. Chloe, don't take any pictures of the pickleball sign-up sheet.
That's not my kids.
So, I think one of the cool things that we got going on...
Is there pickleball in here? That's Ryan's deal. Yeah, excuse me.
There should be.
You want to have a pickleball?
So, we've been able to work with Prairie Woods, and we're going to be able to do more outdoor recreational activities. So we just got it finalized with them to come out here and do an intro to kayaking. And then if people are, you know, they get a taste of it, hey, I like it, you know, and if they want to invest in a kayak or whatever, then we're going to have an actual, like a day trip up to Sauk Center, and they can get onto the river and do it that way with guides and everything so they feel more comfortable doing it. So maybe then they just go out and say, hey, we're going to do our own kayaking as a family. We're going to work with them with the fat bike tires so they can do some more off-road type of biking in the wintertime. They're going to show us do snowshoeing and cross-country skiing so people can get out and be active still in the wintertime. So I think that's a good one for us to have. So we're always going to do an introduction, and then if people want to get more involved into it, they will still be able to continue down the path until they're ready to go on their own.
So I would just like to say compliments to the staff for organizing and putting together a very understandable and kind of a creative summer brochure. And I know that from the public, they've received some very positive comments as well. So Rob knows that his staff is doing well with this. So yeah.
I think we're offering a lot to people. I mean, even though that like summer ice isn't with us, we're doing summer ice now. We're fortunate enough that a very high profile college pitcher moved back to town and got a job with Lakeland Elementary. So she's going to be able to help out with a lot more of the pitching aspect of things and stuff. So we've been able to get lucky with that. You know, and our coaches are great. They want to do the camps and everything through us and everything. So there's a lot of activities out there for people to do. A lot of traditional and then some non-traditional ones. I think it was great for us to get Park It going. This will be our third year of doing it, where kids can come to the park and just do activities, you know, and play games, different variety of games, and it doesn't cost them a dime. So. And with all the new things that we get out here, either at the Civic Center or at Swanson or out here, it's busy. This shelter here, it's very popular. So, Rachel, I hear all the phone calls that Rachel gets for, is Four Seasons available? Is Rice Park available? So, once these things get built, they will be used. People will want these type of amenities.
Any further questions for summer programs? So moving on to the coordinator updates.
Did you guys all receive the updates? Did you have any questions? Ryan's ill today, and then with Rachel being here, Alex has to stay back at the office. So if you got something, I can...
It's so trivial compared to what we're talking about. Okay.
Where's Britta then?
She's got a program going on at the community center. She's been busy over there. Do you guys want them to be at the meetings? I've always said if they have something pertaining to the agenda that they should be here, but if you guys want them to be here all the time,
I agree too that you know they've done a nice job with their updates. Yeah, and if there was a small tidbit, you could carry that back.
Okay.
Probably not exactly their favorite thing to do either.
Keep them in the field doing what they do best.
They probably like us better.
Well, I feel like sometimes too much that I do all the talking. But
really?
Yeah. Well, okay, we'll tone you down. No. So the board announcements. Does anybody from the board have any comments or questions or concerns that they'd like to voice?
I voiced Michael at the Mass with Rob earlier, so he will not comply.
Yeah.
Mind is fog up.
So if there aren't any other comments or questions as far as the board announcements, is there a motion a second to adjourn?
Second.
All in favor signify by saying aye. We are adjourned.
Do you want to keep these copies for us?
You can keep them if you want. They'll be all updated.
Okay.
Is there anything that you guys, for the May meeting, is there anything that you guys want to see in particular? I've always thought about bringing in Justin DeLeo, who's our playground safety inspector, so you guys actually understand why we took out the playground equipment, because of entrapment, what else? Entrapment, strangulation, protrusions, all that type of stuff. You guys want to know about that stuff, or?
If we have a slow meeting, maybe we can bring it in.
Yeah.
Depends on what's on the
agenda. Okay. Right.
Is there a typical dollar for these CIPs that we typically get about?
For our
Parks and Rec?
There'll be some years that we have.
Really? I just calculated it out. It's about $6 million a year if we do all these things on the list.
Yeah. Sometimes I think.
And see, that's why we talked about this earlier with like the bike paths and the parking lots. They would usually fall into student food.